Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Tyler today right here on ESPN975. AJ is going to join us a little bit later in the show. He wanted to be here today on the first day after Raheel is no longer here on the show. So AJ is going to join us a little bit later. You Blitz fans will get a little taste of AJ in the morning, and that'll happen about 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. Lance, stay until 10 now on the show. A little more work for you. A little bit. You usually stay anyway until 9:45.
I do, and frankly, you know, I work until about 6 to 7 p.m. every night anyway, seven days a week. So yeah. It's not I'm still working less. The voice gets taxed a little more because I'm still doing about 3 radio shows a day. Yeah, I'm still doing draft shows every day, single day. Yeah, and I think some of it probably has to do with the state we're in. I mean, everyone, and I'm trying to be sensitive to the fact that I don't want to have to do a zillion shows, but I do a radio show, and I know that, you know, it's nice to have guests. And so if somebody wants me as a guest, I try to help them out and do it. So I did. I actually ended up doing these shows aren't coordinating, so I was on back-to-back days with different shows on the same station, talking about Arizona Cardinals draft. So that happened. Been doing a lot of Philadelphia radio and Zoom television stuff. So a lot of Philadelphia, multiple Philadelphia stations. I did Mike Francesa. That was nerve-wracking to see what would happen. Did I tell you about that already? I don't know if I told you.
No.
Before the draft, yeah, Mike Francesa, he would ask me a question, and I would start to talk, and then he would jump in and answer it himself. Like, what do you think that, I mean, honestly, what do you think the Jets can even do with their pick at 11?
Well, I did hear that. I did hear that, but I didn't hear him step on. I heard you say offensive line to him.
Well, I'm just giving you an example. It was multiple questions, right? It was multiple questions. I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah.
And anytime I would start to answer something, he'd jump in. Yeah, but, I mean, look, there's not going to be a wide receiver that's going to make a difference for the Jets at 11 in that regard, right? Well, I don't know. I mean, hey, look, anything's going to help. Yeah, anything's going to help. But, hey, but not, you know, there's not Calvin Johnson, is there? No, not really. There's only one Calvin Johnson. God almighty, I can't answer one of these questions. One guy in Philadelphia, I was on WIP, which is, you know, one of the granddaddy of all sports stations, and I was on with a straight-up Philadelphia sports host, Anthony something. And
of course it's Anthony something.
Yeah, he got, like, he was getting fired up at me because I said that I thought Jalen Hurts was gone in a second. That was not the answer he wanted. Apparently, Philadelphia, that's not the answer you want. So when I said, well, I mean, I knew Jalen Hurts. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, okay. I said, no, it was in the draft. It's in my draft projections and profile. Yeah, I don't want to. Come on. You, me, and everybody. Okay, yeah, fine. What else? Like, what? I don't know. You tell me what else. I know. So I never do Chicago stations. I'll do a lot of Philadelphia. I do Arizona a lot. I'll get, like, Oklahoma. Before the draft, you know, I'll get stuff like I'll do Dusty Dvorak's show in Oklahoma.
Well, Chicago's not a big college football town, so they wouldn't get into the minutiae.
Well, but you know, usually after your team has, like, Chicago doesn't reach out to me to talk about who the Bears drafted. I don't think I've ever done Silva, Waddle, and Sylvie or whatever. New York, I did Max Kellerman's show one time. I did Francesa, which was, you know, kind of a big deal. I do Buffalo frequently. Some of these stations will try to have me on 2 and 3 times, twice before the draft and once after, and that's a little much. Mm-hmm. But So I'm still doing yesterday. I did three more shows yesterday, and I can't remember if I have any lined up today. Cleveland. I do a lot of Cleveland Browns radio also. A lot of Cleveland Browns every year.
Still a busy time. And remember, I would imagine you got your laptop or some. Yeah, you got your laptop in front of you.
I have to pull it up.
Everybody they picked and every. Yeah.
But now I was out on a walk the other day because when I found out about Raheel, it was just a bad day, and the wife said, "You want to just go for a walk? Let's just go and clear your head." So I said, "Okay." So we went, and. I forgot that I had to do two different shows that evening that I'd been booked for that I totally forgot about. One was KNBR in San Francisco, and I don't even remember who the other show was now. I can't even remember who the other show. So I'm sitting there, and I tell the host, I tell the producer, I said, listen, I don't have a computer in front of me, so if the hosts want to ask me about the draft, have them just ask a specific question about a player. Just to kind of remind me who you guys drafted, because I don't have a computer with me right now, and I'm going to be on the phone. He goes, yeah, I'll make sure, no problem. Right off the bat, Tom Tolbert goes, so what'd you think about who were your couple of your favorite picks that the 49ers had? I'm like, oh god. There were so many good ones. I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite. It's like having kids. You know, you can't pick a favorite, so I'm just going to say pretty much most of it. And then this other guy jumps in. I didn't say it like that, but this other guy jumps in and goes, yeah, I guess he had been told by the producer in his ear. He goes, yeah, for example, you have Javon Kinlaw, and you had Brandon Ayuk, and he started going over each pick. So I realized, okay, the producer must have gotten in his ear.
Right. You got to name the guys.
Yeah,
Name the guys.
Yeah. Well, they're all on location, so you're not talking to one show.
Yeah, right.
You're
right,
talking
right.
to one host, really.
Right.
I'm assuming everybody is on location.
So who did you like the best in the Texans draft?
Blacklock. Probably Blacklock, yeah. That's who I like the best.
Yeah, that was the right pick.
I saw him working out the other day in the sand. Did you see that? Like a beach workout?
Wasn't the Texans moving to a beach?
It was a sand pit. You're not allowed to have organized team activities at all.
So I saw Johnny Manziel working out on the sand, and he was spectacular.
Okay. Did you see Rocky running in the sand?
Yeah,
I saw Rocky,
and guess what happened? Win,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It slows you down and makes you quicker at the same time.
No, I know. So the Texans are moving to a sand pit now. We're going to play in a sand pit.
Well,
this
is one trainer was doing that. I think the Texans are going to keep playing like they're in sand.
Oh, okay. All right.
At least on the defensive
front. I heard they were moving to a sand pit. That's all I heard. I don't know. So a couple of things that we haven't even touched on yet. What about, and I saw a tweet from somebody said, I hate Alex Bregman. But you know what he's doing now? And he's got Alex's army has raised a couple million bucks now to help feed Houston area residents during this COVID-19 outbreak, which, I mean, I think, I don't know, maybe will help a little bit when everybody gets back and all the writers won't hate Alex Bregman nearly as much as they hated him before.
Okay.
Now, Alex Bregman, for everybody else outside of Houston, though, he's kind of hateful. He's kind of hateable, isn't he?
Yeah. He's that guy that people probably say, he has a punchable face.
Yeah,
He's going to be that guy that everyone, because he's cocky.
Even, like, the third host on the show today hates him. Right?
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about later today.
Hey, later today.
I thought you meant Tyler. I'm like, Tyler doesn't hate Alex Bregman.
No, Taylor does. Tyler
yeah,
doesn't
but
hate.
But he doesn't like Alex Bregman because Bregman dabbed on him, basically.
Right.
Back when people were dabbing, Alex Bregman dabbed on AJ.
He did dab on AJ.
And then he goes, watch this. Hold my Powerade while I win a World Series and wreck the entire American League.
Yeah, while I win Game 5. And guess what, AJ? Guess who the people love? Me?
Yeah, the people love Alex Bregman. Okay?
Right. So all this douchey stuff that you talk about, guess what?
Yeah, guess what?
Guess what?
You're not doing a show in Iowa, okay? This is a show in Houston where everyone loves Alex Bregman.
Okay, I'm going to ask AJ later in the show, had he known that they were banging garbage cans and Alex Bregman was benefiting
from
banging.
Don't ask him.
Would he have given him up just because of how Alex Bregman faced him?
Don't put him in Smith snitch mode.
Would he have given them up just so he could have made Alex Bregman look bad that season?
Don't do that.
I think he would have.
I hope the answer is no. I hope the answer is no.
You don't know, though. I mean,
there's a lot of snitching on this show.
No, I know, but AJ can be, I would imagine he can be a little bit, hey, oh, watch this, Alex Bregman. Maybe I wouldn't have done it, but somehow news would have gotten out. Somehow that news would become available. Maybe you wouldn't have known where it came from, but it would become available.
All right, so yeah, we'll ask him that and see what happens. We actually
But big ups, by the way, to Alex Bregman. I mean, we need to, there's a lot of athletes that are just sitting at home and doing whatever. Alex Bregman is out working his ass off, you know, raising a couple million bucks. That's nice.
Alex Bregman is, and I think there's going to be some players who feel like they need to do something to redeem themselves in some way, shape, or form based on what happened in the past. Whether they need to or not, they may just feel like that internally. And, you know, that may play into some things, not necessarily this, but just in general, which is fine. If that means doing more interviews, if that means signing more autographs, if that means being more patient with fans, if that means, you know, whatever the case may be, you may see a little different vibe from some of the Astros in terms of fan relations right now. This is independent of what we're talking about with Bregman and helping out, but we'll see what happens. I mean, it's not like we have a negative vantage point or a negative viewpoint of our Houston Astros, the players in the community. We don't have that. We don't have it at all. There's no reason to.
No. I know. Why would we?
I mean, they've been 712 here.
712 ESPN 97.5. 7378037776. A lot of stuff to talk about here on the show. Don't you go anywhere. In the meantime, let's get some insurance in here, Lance.
Let's go TGS Insurance. I can tell you this. When you're shopping for homeowners, and there's going to be people whose homeowners are coming up, and I know that homeowners insurance is done on an annual basis. If you're somebody like me who likes to shop for your homeowners, you don't stick the payment in your mortgage payment and collect escrow and all that stuff. You say, look, I want to get my own. I want to pay in advance, and I want to get that discount that's available. Well, TGS, what they can do for you is they aggregate a bunch of A-rated homeowners insurance companies, and then they shop your homeowners' needs against all their companies, and they try to find you the lowest rate and the best coverage. Now, you can always tweak your coverage to match whatever it is that you have right now, but in most cases, they're already going to match whatever coverage you have, and you're going to find that the prices, in many cases, is much lower. The average savings is $870, and that is nothing to joke about. $870 of an annual savings is a really, really big deal, especially in this economic climate. So why don't you do yourself a favor? It's super easy. You text MONEY to 232323, and that will start the process of TGS Insurance checking on what they can save you for your homeowner's insurance. Just text MONEY, the word MONEY, to 232323. Within 15 seconds, you can end up getting a firm homeowner's insurance quote from a great company, A-rated insurance providers as well, and they can shop cars for you as well in case you're worried about losing that discount on your bundle. TGSinsurance.com, text MONEY to 232323.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Tyler here. I'm looking at Mark Berman having video of Jadeveon Clowney over at Plex, and Danny Arnold working out with the ball, the medicine ball. Clowney acknowledges the Seahawks remain on his radar, but love playing there. Other teams expressing interest, according to NFL sources, include the Browns, the Ravens, the Titans, and the Eagles. I do not want to see him with the Titans, because that's something that they could certainly use. And I would not want him here. I would not want to see Clowney twice a year, because you know he'll have it. It takes a little to motivate Jadeveon Clowney, and that would be something that would definitely motivate Jadeveon Clowney. He's out there working out now. He's showing that he wanted to show teams. He's getting a wake-up call, though, isn't he?
Oh, no, he's had a wake-up call. I told you my dad had some conversations with him when he was working out Max Sharping, and he said, you know, Clowney just told him point blank, man, these guys are catching up with me. The younger guys are catching up. I've really got to step up my game, and I think that's what you're seeing. I think he coasted on pure athleticism and natural talent. But the skill level, I mean, he's just he's a highly predictable pass rusher. He's, since his college days, it's been about his inside move, and everyone knows that. And so players are playing him for that. But it's still devastating. I mean, his inside move can be devastating, but when players play you for that move, it's a lot harder to be productive. You've got to be more unpredictable. And so it takes greater skill, and it takes, you know, the difference. Once I've said it before, and I'll say it again. People like to try to focus on hurries and pressures. That's all fine and good, but sacks are a lot of times, and you can just go watch the individual sack and make a determination. But sacks and quarterback hits are typically going to be the function of skill and not just athletic talent. And pressure, there's a lot of guys who can get pressure on the pocket depending on how Pro Football Focus defines it. I've seen passes, so I can pull up all the pressures for a player, right, and watch it on tape. And I do that many times. And there are times I think, wow, this is pressure? It's not, you know, it's really not much in some cases. So I like looking at quarterback hits and sacks. And usually when that happens, you are beating your guy. You're beating your guy with strength, you're beating your guy with speed, or you're beating your guy with skill. And I think Clowney can do it with strength, but the speed, he's not really a bendy outside edge rusher necessarily. He hasn't really learned to do that. And then from a skill standpoint, his hands are just not as skilled as they need to be. So I think he's working on those things. I think Clowney's a great bet right now. I just mentioned to Ballard. I said, shoot, you guys should look at Clowney. I mean, you got money. He's going to be playing on a one-year deal more than likely. He's not going to want to play for a multi-year deal at less money. You probably get Clowney and you say, look, we'll give you $10 million guaranteed. Come on in and give yourself a chance to earn a bigger contract next year. He's going to be hungry. He's going to play hungry. And I think he'd be a tremendous value at $10 to $12 million. I really do, because we know he can play the run. We know he can rush the passer okay. He just wants to get paid long-term like a great defensive end. And the Texans, and I never disagreed with the fact that with Bill O'Brien and the Texans, that I would not have given him a long-term deal. I would have franchised him, had him play it out, and then figured it out. But I definitely would never have given Clowney a long-term deal, because the concern is, does he care about football enough to make himself the best he can be? Or is he going to coast if he gets a big, giant bag? And I think other teams clearly have the same concerns. And that's clearly a reputation he must have around the league.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. He has an Albert Haynesworth vibe to him. When I get my bag, I'm a guaranteed bag, I'm going to be done. I mean, honestly, and that's a shame. But we've seen his work ethic all the way from when the old ball coach, you know, said, well, Jadeveon doesn't work. He's not the hardest working dude. You know, I mean, that's just been Jadeveon Clowney. Now, when he gets on the field on Sundays, which is exactly why. I mean, he and Hopkins, D-Hop, were just not Bill O'Brien kind of guys. On Sundays I'll be there, but the rest of the week, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But on Sundays I'll be there. And that's a culture that he wants. And you know what? That's Bill O'Brien's culture. Guess what? He owns the team.
Well, that's the culture, by the way, of Bill Belichick, John.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's not, I mean, Bill Belichick, let's not act like that's something, but what a what an idiot this Bill O'Brien is.
No.
Bill O'Brien has Bill Belichick has demanded that for 3 decades.
And guess what? He's gotten rid of really, really good football players and
yeah,
still won. And still won. And Bill O'Brien has gotten rid of really, really good football players. And guess what? Still won.
Well, let's see. Who did he get rid of that's really, really good?
Jadeveon Clowney. Guess what?
Yes.
Beat it.
We'll see how he wins.
And guess
this
what?
Year.
Division title. That's right. What?
Last time I checked, he's gotten rid of 2 good players. Am I missing somebody? And one of them, we haven't even played a game yet.
Aaron Colvin. Yeah. Rid of him. Guess what? Mm-hmm. All right. Gibson,
Tayshaun and Aaron Colvin.
Right.
I'm not sure they're great evaluators when it comes to defensive backs.
I'm not. Well, I know this. Stop getting Jaguar defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know. All right? Because they suck. Well, Gibson wasn't that bad, though. Gibson actually was not. I mean,
they thought Colvin, he was.
Colvin wasn't. No, I think they thought that Gibson was just not, he didn't fit the culture.
Tayshaun?
Yeah.
What's wrong
didn't
with
fit
him?
The, fit, didn't fit, I don't know. What was wrong with DeAndre Hopkins? I don't know.
No, they thought, I think they don't think Tayshaun's very good.
Oh, well, they know. They know much better than I do. But it appears that Tayshaun was another 1 year, and you found out that he just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Was there anything that was, I mean, glaring about Tayshaun Gibson?
I think the way he played football was probably one of them. I don't think it's his personality. I think they were just like.
So he was really good, but good enough to sign to a 3-year deal in Jacksonville, but
Same as Colvin. Same as Colvin.
All right.
Well, I give him credit for getting away from a guy if they don't think he's very good. I give him credit for that.
No, I do too. Hey,
you
got to
be
too.
Better though,
get out of
about
it.
Who you sign. You got to be better about who you sign.
Yeah.
Let me see what Pro Football Focus had on Tayshaun Gibson. I'll see what they. Here it is. I'll see what their grades were on Tayshaun Gibson. They had in coverage they had a 64.5. In run defense, they had a 49.2. That's on a 100-point scale. That's typically not considered good. Let's see on run defense, 6 missed tackles. He had 18 tackles, I guess, 3 assists, 6 missed tackles. That's a pretty terrible rating. This is really, really low. This also takes into account his play, like how he played. How he fit his run fits and stuff like that. So at least their grades, they had him giving up no touchdowns, but he had 3 interceptions, 4 forced incompletions, gave up 12 first downs according to them. But like I said, this is always a little shaky. And then he's a safety, so take it for what it's worth, but they have him allowing 67.9% completion rate against, which for safeties you have to watch a tape to find out if he was actually tight on the coverage and all that stuff. But his grades were not good on a game-by-game basis, according to Pro Football Focus.
According to Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm. And apparently to the Texans.
Yeah. Well, not according to the Bears. They were like, but let's pick him up. Let's see. We'll see if he gets any better. Or we'll see how he does this year with the Bears. But neither here nor there. No. Listen, Bill O'Brien is doing what Bill O'Brien wants to do. When you own the team, you do what you want, and he's doing that. Getting rid of guys that don't fit your culture is fine. That is absolutely fine. I agree with him. If he doesn't want a culture around there that of guys that don't want to practice, that he doesn't feel like are fully committed, that aren't all on board and gung-ho, and eat, sleep, and drink football, I don't disagree with that. The only thing I disagree with is the value he gets back on those guys.
Yeah, that's where I am, too. That's where I am, too. But it's still a problem. If you don't know how to maneuver it so that you get the proper value, the expected value, or if you don't know how to deal with people, which Bill O'Brien doesn't, he's not very good at dealing with people, that's well-known. It's well-known across the industry. So if that's the case, then you need a buffer so that you can be as surly as you want, but there's someone else to kind of smooth the edges for when you're kind of impulsive and angry and screaming and yelling. And now you have a buffer in there. They listen to you. Okay, all right, Bill. All right, let me work on this. Let me see what we've got. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think Rick Smith has the right type of demeanor. We're just going to talk purely demeanor. Rick Smith has the type of calm demeanor. You don't want to have another Bill O'Brien as a general manager because that would be no good. And maybe Jack Easterby has this. I'm sure his demeanor is really, really good as well based on his background. So maybe that will help. But Bill O'Brien is unchecked. That's our biggest problem. But I don't have any problem with a coach. If a coach is trying to win on any level, get it to where you need it to be from a cultural standpoint, because your job is the one that's going to be on the line. But this isn't, you know, we've gone over this multiple times. I don't want to keep hitting on it. But if you don't know how to, he's not qualified to build a roster. And we've seen that. That's very obvious. He's not qualified to build a roster. No matter how Brandon Cooks plays, no matter how Randall Cobb plays, the roster building is scoffed at around the league. I mean, this is people who work for NFL teams are scoffing at what they're doing because it's not even remotely close. I told you the cap guy's like, this is ridiculous, what they did cap-wise for Randall Cobb. He has no leverage. Why did you do that? They give away leverage left and right to everybody they negotiate with.
Everybody. Everybody.
Let me tell you about – go ahead.
Go get it. Talk about Craig the Surf down.
I'm going to talk about him. I do want to mention when we come back, we're going to get into – there is some good news bubbling around Major League Baseball, potentially the NBA, and then NFL is still a little bit up in the air. But if baseball comes back, it's a really good sign for the NFL, especially if it goes well with baseball. So let's talk about baseball. There is some good news bubbling up, and we'll tell you exactly what that's going to look like. I'm going to tell you what something else is going to look like, and that is your opportunity to go with my friend Craig DeSerf. So listen, we are our whole business, our business, radio, is run with sponsorships and advertising. And so it's important that people take care of, for us at least, that people take care of the people who take care of us and keep us on the air. And that's why my plea is for you. If you need a pickup truck or an SUV or a crossover vehicle, my guy Craig DeSerf has been with me for years and years. And I really do. He really is a friend. And the reason I like him so much is the way he treats people, the people who work for him, the people who come in and shop with them. Everybody gets the same treatment. And he's one of those guys that has great positive energy. Look, I can tell you this right now. 0% financing for up to 84 months. Deferred payments for 120 days for well-qualified buyers. These are the offers going on right now with GMC, Chevrolet, and Buick. And so no matter what the vehicle is that you're looking for, you've got a great opportunity to really lower your prices or do something for yourself financially that makes a lot of sense. Go to LandZCars.com. Check out their entire inventory. They're located in Angleton. They will deliver your car right to your doorstep and make it so easy. And I promise you, no one's going to beat their prices. Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Go to LandZCars.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Crazy, crazy times. We'll see what happens, especially with this college football season. I saw Dana yesterday on the caravan talking about, you know, I just can't foresee. I just can't see it. Playing without fans, I just don't know how that goes off. Kareem Jackson said, "Man, that would suck. I don't know. Plus, I don't want to. I'm not risking my family." There are a lot of guys that are probably feeling that way. Major League Baseball looks like it's getting a lot closer, Lance. It looks like they're going to have a date. They've already told players, "Get in shape. Let's go. We're gonna play these games." Three NBA teams, including the Rockets, are going to be opening up their facilities tomorrow. And then we'll see if the other ones follow. Is that fair or unfair that those teams have a head start? Oh, well. James Franklin yesterday said, you know what, if there are some schools in our conference that can't open, that's all right. Penn State's going to play. And you can't make the rest of the conference suffer because a couple schools can't play or won't or don't want to play. So, I mean, this seems like it's starting to get like every man for himself out there. Let's go.
Yeah, it's look, I look at all this as good news. I look at all this as I'm sorry, I misspoke. I look at this as great news. If you don't want to play, you can retire. I understand Kareem Jackson, who's been around for a long time, I think is more likely to retire than to continue to play, if that's a concern. If you can't shut down the opportunity to play if the league, your employer, and the other players want to play, if there's a clear-cut majority, they really can't if they are taking steps to keep players safe. More importantly, players have to keep, they have to take steps. The teams can keep facilities safe. The teams can act in a certain way. The teams can have testing and all that stuff. But it's the players. It's just like, it's no different than with you and I, me and you and Tyler. We have to do things that are not irresponsible so that we don't potentially spread or potentially come in contact with people who are, you know, infected. You have to be smart about it, and you have to be mature about it. And I recognize that that's, you're asking guys in their 20s in many cases to make wise decisions and be mature and not act like they are bulletproof. And I know that that's generally the worst group, a male in the age of in the 20 year old range, especially early 20s. Those guys just, they think everything will be fine for all of eternity. I mean, mm-hmm. I've got one. So I understand that that's a little bit of an issue. But if they don't play, they are going to, they could see some of their leagues and teams and organizations could crater. I mean, absolutely crater. And that's not hyperbole. It is, if you haven't learned how paycheck to paycheck everything in this country is, you should know by now. And that includes sports organizations, because what they're tied to is television revenue. And if television revenue is not coming in, you know, if the providers of television are not seeing the revenue they need, they're not going to be paying these leagues that money. There is not going to be any ticket sales. There's no concessions. The players aren't going to get their money because the owners aren't going to get their money. It doesn't take long for you to see the dominoes fall and what's going to happen. It's going to be a disaster. That's why they almost have to play, even if it means no even if it means no fans in the stands, you almost have to play. With all due respect to Dana, as long as his players are healthy, et cetera, et cetera, and the opposing teams are, if you don't, then the decision, you know, if your television revenue is also gone, then tell me the revenue you have coming in.
However, the costs, well, not that the costs versus, let's say, the American Conference, their television contract is not nearly what the SEC's is. I mean, not even close.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, the SEC has a lot more to gain by playing with no fans. It's a killer for University of Houston if you don't have fans. The majority of their revenues come from fans.
So, I get that, but if you have no TV revenue, then you have now no fan revenue and no TV revenue. How does that help?
Yeah, but if you don't have any of the costs of putting on games either, then you'll save money there.
Oh, so, well, I mean, if it's more expensive to put on a game than not put one on, then that's different.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's more expensive to put a game on than not put a game on.
Well, I mean, if it's more expensive to put on a game, and if that is more expensive than the TV revenue you get, well, then you're in a negative plus minus.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm talking about with the.
Yeah, we had Pez on, and he was like, yeah, I don't, and I talked to him a little bit. Yeah, it's a disaster if there's no fans for him. It's just a disaster. So, I mean, I got the impression, and I'm not going to speak for him, but I got the impression that a spring football season with fans is a much more attractive than a fall season without fans.
But if the season, if the seasonal coronavirus, if it's going to become a, more of a thing in cold weather, then we're going to be coming out of that. I don't know why, if they, if it makes a secondary charge every year.
Well, that gives more time for vaccines and everything else too.
Yeah, though. Yeah, that makes some sense. And yeah. So they have remdesivir down the pipe right now, but we got to see what the cost. That's the concern, yeah. Is how expensive is it going to be? Vaccines, they're in trials. I read something that was great. It's funny. I put this really great news out there on Twitter, and it gets almost no likes or retweets. A monkey trying to steal a child gets 100 billion views and likes and retweets. Like, oh my God, the child almost got stolen by a monkey. That's amazing. Like, hey, guess what? There's some scientific testing, and this is the charts. Look at what Macau, the primates, the Macau primates and rats and mice and multiple non-human primates and non-primates are really benefiting from 6 grams. They did a test with a placebo, a sham, 3 milligrams and 6 milligrams, and you can see the results inside the body benefit at where it keeps it from replicating. This is amazing news for a potential, and this is, John, this isn't for medicine. This is for a vaccine. This is like great news. And then here's Twitter. I kind of liking this. This is, do you have a monkey stealing? Do we have anyone getting?
Is there a little girl singing about a butthole?
Is there a do you have a girl singing a butthole song or a TikTok of some sort?
Yeah.
I'm not really interested in positive vaccination news. It could save our planet.
That could end this thing. No.
Dude, what about a butthole? Do you have that girl?
Yeah,
the butthole girl, as John calls her.
She's,
do you have the butthole girl? Because
she's forever going to be the butthole girl. What are you going to do? There's nothing I can do about it.
Can the butthole girl sing a song about the vaccine so I can hear?
Here's a little story that you might not like, Lance.
Yep.
A University of Pittsburgh professor apparently was on the verge of making very significant findings researching COVID-19, was found shot and killed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is going to 100% get the lunatics out there.
Oh, my God. It's the Democrats. I'm pretty sure it was the Democrats because they do not want to see this end. Because if this ends under Trump's watch, Trump gets elected. So there you have it. This was probably a Democrat.
Is that the follow the money?
You follow the money. If this thing ends and Trump comes through.
Hold on. What if this guy was not going to give it to Big Pharma? And Big Pharma murdered him, then it's the Republicans. Oh, this is getting hard to figure out. Who murdered this guy?
Well, no, it
was
could
it
well
Democrats
be.
Was it Democrats or was it Big Pharma?
Or here's my theory, is he's working for some company or whatever. Some company is working with him, and they're going to develop the vaccine. But another company that's close said, watch this.
Follow the money.
Yeah. No. Who gets it first? Guess what? If 6 billion people want your product, guess what? It's worth life.
This is not, and this is what really concerns me, is all these different groups are working on one. What really concerns me is this is going to get politicized too, where it's going to, I already saw it yesterday, where people are already talking about Trump is going to do this or this country is going to do this so that they can benefit financially. Remember when we used to, just people used to, hey, we found something, and this really works, and we want to really help society out, and we want to help all mankind out. No, now we've got to be – we have to look at it with a side eye because half the time a side eye should be looked at it. I've seen Dirty Money enough to know how this works. So now the big concern is there could be something that is – when something comes out that works, you're going to have everyone get on board because other countries like Italy is saying, we found it. Italy is now saying – they found the cure. And this one company that says they found the cure, they're like, this is an Italian company with Italian scientists and Italian technology, and now all we need is to get it funded. So we're going to need you guys internationally to start cranking some money in here. So throw some money in here, and we'll get this thing made. All I could think of was, this seems like a sham.
No. If it's the Italians, okay,
we found
for sure.
It. You send up some money on the Cash App. We got a Cash App or a Venmo. Give us some money.
Give me my money. Give me my Give me my money. No, no. Where's my money? Give me my money. That's what that is. Okay. And you know what? If the Italians say they got it for, oh, we're the smartest people in the world. That's right. Italy. So guess what? The Italians got it first. Fauci. And now this, we're winning the world in Italy.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you. And that other stuff, too.
What is the rubber? That is the rubber. Your problem's a problem. Trouble's a problem.
And then you go, yo.
Yo.
So like, right. Wait, I think he said, what's that? Hold on. Now, what is he trying to say about society?
Wonder what's inside your butthole.
All right, did you have this Earl Thomas sound talking about the thing, Tyler?
You're on the air, yeah, John.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Tyler, get Earl Thomas's response, will you?
All right. Okay, listen to the song, though. It's a cover of the little girl's song.
Inside your butthole. What's inside your butthole? I always wanted.
Did Chance do this?
No.
No.
It sounds like a Chance production.
It's actually the. Or you want to tell him, Lance?
No, no, no. Go ahead.
The main character from How I Met Your Mother, the guy who played Ted, Josh Radnor. It's him and some other guy named Ben Lee. They did a cover of it, and it's pretty good.
I guess they really do music good. Together because they got a Twitter account together.
Yeah.
And it's verified.
They have a joint Twitter account.
That is one. Okay. From this, what are the most memorable things? And two of them came out this week. What's Inside Your Butthole and the Monkey Stealing the Baby.
Did you see there was a second monkey video, right?
Yeah, I saw the other one, man. That is
crazy.
Did
you see the monkey standing by the wall? Waiting for kids to get out of school?
Actually, no, I saw somebody tweeted us.
So we now know what's going on. So this is just supposed to be like a prank where this monkey, they've got something tied to this monkey. There's a guy who has something like a cord tied to this monkey. And what he typically does is will drive the monkey on, you know, this motorcycle. The monkey hangs on, and then he pulls the monkey off, and the motorcycle a lot of times will crash into somebody or whatever, and there's somebody else who's filming it. Well, the one that we see of the girl, there's a guy, if you hear the audio, if you have the one that has the whole audio, there's a guy on top of a roof who's filming the one where the monkey's going up the ramp or whatever it is to where the kids are sitting, and then the guy pulls the monkey off, but what happens, he pulls it off right as he gets to the kids, but what happens is the monkey goes rogue and grabs the girl and starts pulling. And the guy who's filming, who's clearly part of this, is like, hey. Like, you can hear this is not part of the thing. And he starts kind of yelling at the monkey, too. And the monkey lets go. And then the monkey runs back to get the girl and starts dragging her even more. But it's not that the monkey's hands are strong, but a guy is pulling the monkey the whole time, trying to get him away. But when he's got a hold of the girl, the girl goes flying, too. So I don't think it's some kind of, as Twitter has said, a sex trafficking thing with a three-year-old. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's basically a prank. They're trying to do prank videos with this monkey because the other video Tyler's talking about is they pulled the monkey off of the bike, but the monkey hit some kid. Is it a kid or an old? Maybe it's a woman.
It looked like a teenager.
Yeah, a teenage boy, and knocks him to the ground. Like, the monkey basically takes his legs out from under him. And it's almost like they're laughing, like that's maybe what it's supposed to be. I don't know. But and the monkey just goes back and gets his helmet. The monkey's just like, I don't know. They just keep pulling me off this motorcycle.
Whatever the helmet it is, it's like a creepy-ass mask. It looks like the Saw mask.
Well, I don't want to see this monkey ever. We talked about this. If the monkey's coming my way, I have no interest in sticking around.
No, not if a monkey on a motorcycle's coming your way. Something bad is going to happen. Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. 1,000%.
A monkey on a motorcycle, a monkey on a motorcycle with a saw mask? I mean, it gets worse and worse.
Yeah. I'll retweet the monkey standing, sitting on a wall, and the monkey's just sitting there. Oh, I'll retweet it right now, Lance, and I'll at you. It is, and it's in, it looks like it's some, it's a Latin American country, but it's translated for you. So y'all got to see this at Lance. I'm tweeting it to you right now. And Tyler Cito, what are you?
Yeah, at Tyler Drew Scott. I think I'm already tweeted and or added in that.
You're already in that.
Where the monkey sitting on the wall.
Oh, you were too, Lance. Yeah. You were too. You better call Joel. Retweeted it to you.
Okay.
Anyway, so it is okay. So we've got what's inside your butthole, monkeys terrorizing kids, toilet paper is the number one currency in the world. The most important thing ever. We got toilet paper out of this pandemic, right? That's the most important thing in any kind of an emergency. Everyone needs toilet paper. Everyone needs to hoard all the toilet paper they can possibly get. Mm-hmm. What else is there? What else have we gotten out of this?
Well, apparently,
what else has gone viral?
Viral as of today. A Hall of Fame safety, future Hall of Fame safety. Likes to get into orgies with his own brother.
Yeah, he and his brother.
Is that what you were looking for? Maybe.
Well, that's not exactly what I was looking for. No, I thought we could get to the Earl Thomas story at some point, but but that is something that will last with him out of this thing. He and his brother were with some women in a hotel room, and they were having some. Relations. The wife, Earl Thomas's wife, and some other women then burst into the room. Earl Thomas's wife had a gun, which she took the magazine out, but she didn't know that there were still bullets in the chamber. And she held it to his head, threatening him, thinking that that it was empty. Fortunately, she never pulled the trigger. But because there were still bullets loaded in the gun, and isn't that always what happens? Isn't it? So Earl apparently, was able to get away. And when cops got there, they found Earl's wife chasing him with a knife. So this is something now Earl has responded.
Well, can I read the police report before you give Earl's response? I think it's important to hear what's in the police report. This is from TMZ because, you know, when you need all the information, apparently TMZ is the one who gets it. We're at a place in society where TMZ, and this started with Ray Rice, TMZ gets the information that other people can't. So Earl Thomas is lucky to be alive after cops say his wife held a loaded gun less than a foot from his head, and she allegedly caught him cheating with another woman. That only tells part of the story. It's all spelled out in court documents obtained by TMZ Sports, detailing a violent April 13th altercation involving a Baltimore Ravens player, Nina Thomas, and several other people. Austin Police Department responded to a home in the Austin, Texas area at 3:41 a.m. after getting a call about a disturbance. When cops arrived, they say, quote, "We observed that a black female wearing an orange sweater with a knife in her hand, later identified as Nina Thomas, was chasing a shirtless black male, later identified as Earl Thomas, with a pistol in his hand around a vehicle. Cops drew their weapons and ordered both Nina and Earl to the ground, and they complied without incident. That's when the investigation and things began to get wild." Here is Nina's story of this. Nina's story is, pull this up. She claims Earl left the house. Can you believe he's only 30? He feels older than that, but Earl left their home earlier in the day after an argument over the NFL players drinking. Well, I mean, it is quarantine. What are you going to do? She claims Earl's brother Seth picked him up. But a short time later, she decided to check on his whereabouts by logging into his Snapchat account. And that's when she says she found a video of Earl with another woman. Nina says she used Earl's Snapchat account to track his location to a nearby Airbnb rental and says she called up two other women to help her confront Earl at the pad. Nina also claims she grabbed Earl's pistol, a 9mm Beretta, to scare him.
Quick note on the other women who are with her. One of them may or may not have been married or is currently married to Earl's brother, Seth.
Ooh.
Ooh. Plot thickens. When the women arrived at the house, they discovered Earl and Seth naked in bed with other women. That's when Nina admitted she pulled out the gun and put it to Earl's head, stating that she took out the magazine thinking the gun could not fire, but cops say she was unaware the gun had a round in the chamber. Cops said one of the women in the house shot cell phone video of the incident, which they say shows Nina pointing the gun at Earl's head from less than a foot away, and it can clearly be seen that Nina's finger was on the trigger and the safety's disengaged. So in the interview with Earl's alleged mistress at the scene, she claimed that you're going to like this. She claimed Nina also threatened her and other women in the house, pointing a gun at them and yelling, "I got something for all you hoes." Now, "I got something for all you hoes" should end up on a shirt.
I got
if
something
it doesn't,
for all.
Somebody has done something horribly wrong if they don't have "I got something for all you hoes" on a shirt. The woman claims one of Nina's other friends were carrying a knife and swinging it aggressively during the altercation as well. After speaking with everyone, cops ultimately arrested Nina and both members of her posse. Nina was booked for burglary of a residence and intent to commit aggravated assault with deadly weapon, family violence, and later bonded out.
Right. And she's got a restraining order against her now.
Earl was not arrested.
So here's Earl. Here's Earl and his response to the altercation.
"I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. So just wanted to get ahead of it. And I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about us, just keep us in y'all prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. You know, we're back talking. You know, I'm seeing my kids. So I'm going to be on."
Stuff like this happens. Lance? Remember when they're just trying to live their best life.
That's
me
it.
And Mike. I'll never forget when me and Mike,
right,
when we went to an Airbnb at 3 a.m. I mean, I just remember this like it happened yesterday. I think I may have lost my headphones, but anyway, yeah, I remember this happening just like it was yesterday. Me and Mike, we were just playing a video game. That's actually all that was happening. But I guess for some people, their best life is going to be threesomes. I'm not mad at them for – oh, I'm sorry, not three. It was four or five or whatever the number was.
Whatever it was.
I don't – I feel like some of that's avoidable. I don't know if that needs prayers. Like, man, I need to pray for them. They're going through a lot of hard times. Like, well, man, just maybe don't go smash other women with your brother at an Airbnb in Austin. I feel like there's a workaround here.
I mean, well, I'm going to relate the time me and Greg, you know, and then, you
your
know,
brother,
well, we had something for all you hoes. We got something for all you hoes.
Did y'all have that?
We had something for all them hoes.
This is like an updated version of When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Yeah, I just don't want any of that in my life. I don't need any of that in the juice is not worth the squeeze at all. Mm-hmm. Earl will find that out the hard way. I don't think. Of course, he lives a little different life than I do, so maybe for him it is.
Mm-hmm.
But once you go viral like that, the kids are going to see that as they grow up.
Right.
When they Google, let's see what Dad's got on Google. Oh, no.
Well, how about on his Snapchat? Wait a minute. How about this is on his Snapchat?
I can't even.
What kind of idiot are you?
I can't even talk about the self-snitch angle. Why the self-snitching's going on, I have no idea.
802 ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.